This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Well, some questions of Greg Cosell on this in 15 minutes. Let's go to Jones in Atlanta. Hi, Jones. Thanks for calling.
What's up, Buzz? How y'all doing, man?
Good, man.
I'm over here kind of, I'm having a little panic attack because, like I always say, this is an arms race. And we losing all our ammunition, and we ain't getting no new toys to play with. It's like Black Friday, right? And, you know, if you get there too late, all the good stuff going to be gone and ran through. That's how it is right now in free agency. It's like, you know, we losing stuff, but we ain't getting no replacements. Like, you know what I'm saying? Where the extra ammunition coming from? We in a fight, right? So we done shot all our big guns. Debo gone. Pum, that was a big gun. Out of here. The offensive linemen, I ain't saying all these guys that we lost. Some of them were pros, some weren't. But they were still good ammunition to have on the team. And we don't have that heavy artillery anymore. My next thing is, why are guys wanting Purdy to play with nothing? It's like, yeah, everybody is like, with Jalen Hurts, he had Saquon. He has Debo. I mean, Debo Batman and Skinny Batman. You know, we should want to have the best of the best. I don't want to go to war with the mediocre weapons. Yeah, I want to go with the best weapons money can buy. If we could afford a DK for $150, I'd have cashed him out. I don't care. We just lost a receiver. We don't have a receiving core right now. We go ahead and pay Purdy. True, Greenlaw is gone. We can draft another linebacker. There's some D linemen out there, but we ain't spending no money. And the draft process is cool. I like how we draft usually, right? But so y'all telling me we're going to get 100 out of 100. Everybody we're going to draft this year is either going to be first-team All-Pro or some type of influential kid out of 5 to 6 picks we're going to get, right? We're going to hit every one of them. No way, no how.
No way.
No way, no how.
No way. No way. I mean, yeah, Jones, thank you. I mean, the way I look at it, you actually probably need, and I mean like contributors. I'm not talking stars. I'm not talking rookie of the year candidates. But would you agree with me on this? Right now, I see them needing at least 3 new defensive linemen. 3. No less than 3. No less than 3. I see them needing at least 2 new offensive linemen. And
they probably think just 1, if that. I think they like their center. They like their center more than we do. And, I mean, I'm just telling you.
Okay.
I mean, if okay. they... There were centers out there in free agency, and I guess they didn't want to spend a lot of money. But.
Right, but you also – it's not like you can go to war with 5 guys. Like, some are going to get hurt. You've got to have some backups, too.
I'm looking at the depth chart, and their backups right now are Nick Zakel and Austin Pleasance at tackle. He would be your new Jalen Moore. And – Drake Nugent at center, you don't have a lot of backups, and I do think that that's a fair way to look at it. The D-line, I do think that there were some underrated players last year that are back, like Yetur Gross-Matos and Okawanu and the dude who wore the funky helmet, the guardian cap. Evan Anderson.
Evan Anderson, yes.
So they come back. Good depth pieces, but I'm with you. Like, you need a real edge rusher, and you need a real three technique, somebody who can absorb a double team against the run.
You need a dog.
You need a dog in the middle. You want, absolutely.
If you want this defense to work the way it has in the past, when it's been really good, and the Niner pass rush is the heartbeat of the team, that's what that regime has always said. You need an Alden Smith type opposite Nick Bosa, and you need it now. And I don't think it's there on the open market, which means you better find that in the draft and have someone pop and pop quickly. And maybe they've got their guy. Maybe they've got those names circled on their board right now. I don't know. So I'm never going to be close-minded to them finding the pieces and doing the darn thing. But right now, I'm thinking three defensive linemen. I'm thinking two offensive linemen. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking another corner and another linebacker. Okay? And then there's still other things that make me kind of queasy and uncomfortable on offense without knowing Christian McCaffrey's health, without knowing Brandon Ayuk's health.
Yep, you need one of those. You need a running back and a receiver.
I mean, maybe Jordan Mason is going to be back. And I do think that if Pearsall really pops, the receiver room is fine.
Yeah, I don't think so.
It's fine. Yeah. It is. I do. I think it is. I think Pearsall, if you got to go out there for, now I don't know what's going to happen with Robinson right out of the gate, but if you got to go out there for a few games, if Pearsall's ready to pop and Juwan Jennings is there, and I don't know whether it's Jacob Cowing or Chris Conley or Tariq Owens or other names that they're going to put out there. If you've got to do that for two games, not the end of the world, but yeah, I'd like another player. I'd like another player. I'd like another running back and another wide receiver. And they've got 11 picks, so maybe those things will all happen.
Right.
But they're all going to be rookies.
Yeah, and I mean, and just in and of that, you're asking Ricky Pearsall to take a big step up. And I thought last year when he got healthy and he got fit after getting, shot, once he got over the gunshot and was able to get back into the flow, he showed signs, but I don't think that he showed signs of being a real one. And Juwan Jennings has benefited by having a lot of other weapons around him. If you key on Juwan Jennings, I do think that he is somebody that you can limit. I look at their wide receiver room and think you need at least one more, if not more. And I don't know when Brandon Ayuk is going to be good to go. The surgery he had was for two ligaments that were torn. And so, as you mentioned yesterday, the ACL repair, we know it takes a lot of time to get all the way back. Sometimes it takes a full year. So I'm not even counting him in the plans. You can say, 2 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever. And we also don't know about DeMarcus Robinson and whether or not he's going to face punishment from the league for his DUI.
The DUI. Yep. Yep. Yeah.
That's uncomfortable as well.
I mean, think about when you have a Niner conversation right now, how many times do you use the phrase, we don't know?
Well, a lot. And you can say that about every team. But although last year, going into the year, you didn't know if they'd sign Ayuk. And, none of us even thought that they would restructure McCaffrey. And nobody knew about the tragedy that Trent Williams was going through. But you came into last year, once we finally got all the way to the opener, we were sitting down there at the Hilton. And it was like, okay, here we go. Roll up your sleeves. McCaffrey's not playing? Oh, geez. And because that news broke like during our show. All of a sudden, he was out, and we didn't know why, it was the Achilles, and it was bilateral, and it was both Achilles, and so we obviously don't know, but you're asking people about how you feel right now 4 days into this free agency, and I'm just disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, it's fair, and the breaking news of last night, Mac Jones has been signed, and I mean, we can tell. Like, some people are just like, so they got their backup quarterback. Actually makes a lot of sense. I think it's a good move, but a lot of people are attaching other things to it. I can't really dispel all of that as to whether or not Kyle is actually been watching him from afar all along and really thinks he can get something out of him. And is that sort of a piece that'll be brought up in negotiations with Brock Purdy? I don't really think so, but I don't know. But also, who exactly Mac Jones is and how he's played will be a central piece of our conversation with Greg Cosell, which is coming up in about 7 minutes or less. Greg Cosell, NFL Films, our tape guy. There's none like him. Mac Jones and who he has been and what he can be, that's going to be a big part of that conversation, which is coming up. Dave in Fresno next on Willard and Dibs. Hi, Dave.
Hey, guys. Hey, Willard. Hey, Dibs. I think all Niner fans probably feel a little disappointed and confused. I think we all can agree on that. I think where the disagreement will come is if do you trust them to figure it out? And I think that's where I differ. And I think Willis said he does trust them to figure it out. I'm losing trust by the day. I just think this state of the 49ers didn't just happen overnight. You know, there was a lot of bad draft classes, a lot of bad free agent classes. And you guys kind of pointed on one of my takeaways that, yeah, you know, you can be mad that people left, but right now, the offensive line, it was bad last year. You got worse. The defensive line, everybody talked about the defensive line. You got worse there. And right now, you know, there are a few free agents left. You do have the draft. But to think you're just going to, you know, hit on these drafts and get contributors, it's not really been their MO, you know. And with Brock Purdy, like, this is 8 years with Kyle Shanahan. We're still doing this QB question mark. It's just, like, come on. Like it wasn't that long ago his dad was like, oh, yeah, we knew in training camp. We knew he had the last pick. We knew what we had in Brock. We knew he's the guy. Yeah, so when he's making $900,000, that's easy to say. But when it comes time to pay him, oh, wait, you know, we got to take a step back here now. You know, we got to look at the big picture. So, like, it's just a lot of mishaps that happen along the way that right now this is why they're at where they're at. And honestly, I don't think they should get benefit of the doubt. I know they've been to two Super Bowls, and you can always point to that. But they've made some really, really bad decisions. Last year with the contracts, you know, with the Trey Lance, you're missing all these first-round picks, saying no to Tom. All these things that's happened, this is why you're at where you're at. It didn't happen overnight. So they really, really need to, you know, muster up some of these mistakes and learn from it. If not, I don't know what the goal is. Is it to win the Super Bowl? To win the NFC West? Like, because people say, well, 2026 is not guaranteed either. You know, people get older. So
well,
you can say,
yeah, nothing is. Nothing is. Dave, thanks. We got to run. I would just say this. I always have a hard time when people say, is it the goal to win the Super Bowl this year? Well, this is why I will never, ever, ever agree with someone when they say Super Bowl or bust. Mm. I think only crappy teams make it about 1 year. That's a crappy idea. The idea is sustained success. And if that's your idea, you do have to do this. This is what the Bills did. This is what the Rams did. We referenced the Albert Breer conversation where he brought that up. If you want to sustain, you do have to do this. You don't just get to be 35, 36, 37, 38 years old and just keep being good because you got a big name. You got to reboot in a young man's physical game. You have to do that. But it's also fair for us to sit here in this moment and be like, dude, are you retooling? Because I'm not seeing the re part.
Right. Oh,
like, we're only seeing exits. We're not seeing any entrances.
That's a fact.
That's the scary part.
Well, you got an entrance in Mac Jones, either a backup QB or maybe somebody to push Brock, or maybe he'll be QB1 if Brock doesn't sign his deal. As of right now, he is he's right there.
He's
making more money than Brock is.
Yes, they're both on the roster.
Yep, both
and yes,
signed.
They are. Those are facts.
Maybe Brock's calling him for a loan right now.
Greg Cosell of NFL Films, one of our favorites. He crushes the tape. And what does he think of McCorkle Jones? We are about to find out. That is coming up next, and then we'll keep taking your calls as we start moving toward a big Warrior game tonight with Jonathan Kuminga's return. 888-957-9570, Willard and Dibs.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games. Or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
That's a great question.
It's a great question.
That's a great question.
On 95.7 The Game.
You know, one of the voices in that little montage,
Yeah.
You know who it is?
I have a guess, yeah.
Go ahead.
Is it Greg Cosell?
Yeah, one of the voices is definitely Greg Cosell.
Yeah.
Definitely Greg Cosell.
Which is awesome.
So, can we get him to say it again? Let's find out. There's only one place to find out. All guests, of course, on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop. And that is where Greg Cosell, lead producer, NFL Films, joins us right now. Hey, Greg, what's been a minute? How you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
We're doing fantastic. We want to know about Mac Jones. What have you seen with his play, specifically last year in Jacksonville?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's funny. Mac Jones falls into that category now, and I've been giving this a lot of thought, you know, because of the draft as well, and I've had a lot of conversations with people of how difficult it is to be a pure pocket quarterback in this league when you don't really have any second reaction movement ability and you're not a great thrower. Now, it can be done. You know, obviously scheme and system go a long way in determining whether that kind of quarterback can be a really consistent player week to week. But you have to be so good at so many of the details, nuances, and subtleties of the position in order to be, you know, a quality starting quarterback playing that way. And also, he's not very big. So, I think that's one reason why it just didn't quite work out for him up to this point in his career after, you know, a decent rookie season, not a great one, a decent one, and it just hasn't worked out because that style of quarterback is just, it's just hard.
So you're saying he doesn't have, and you were talking about the second reaction mobility skills, is he basically statuesque? Is he unable, from what you've seen on the film, to get out there and make plays with his legs, even to the level that Brock Purdy has?
Well, he's not as athletically gifted as Purdy. You know, every quarterback, look, we're in an era where pretty much every quarterback has some athletic ability. You know, I'm not saying he could never run for a first down, but that's not really what his game is. And you're not building, you know, you're not counting on that to be part of his array of talents, you know, if he's your starting quarterback. If he's your starting quarterback, everything has to be pretty much timing-based, rhythm-based. The system has to present the defined reads and throws. He has to be phenomenal pre-snap. He has to be phenomenal at what I call elimination and isolation. I guess most people would call that processing. So it's just that's what you have to be if you're essentially a pocket quarterback, which he is. And again, I'm not saying he could never, ever run for a first down on third and nine, but that he would be in the bottom fourth of the league in that regard if he was your starting quarterback.
Greg, what about this? I mean, and I don't want to ask you to be speculative, but at the same time, we've watched a lot of quarterbacks kind of do their best work in their career when they're with Kyle Shanahan. So do you think that Mac Jones might, if he does end up playing at all, maybe there's a level of Mac that we haven't seen yet? Is that fair?
It's possible, sure. I mean, obviously, it's a tremendous system. When it's working, you know, at its finest, it is a system where the ball tends to come out on time rhythmically. There's no question because Kyle's one of the best in the league. You know, it's one reason why Sam Darnold was so good in Minnesota because Kevin O'Connell's one of the best in the league. I've always, as I've told you guys, been a big believer in coaching, and there's no question that Kyle is among the very best in the league. And is that possible? I guess my question to you guys would be, do you think the 49ers need a new starting quarterback?
We don't think so. And we have talked to you before, Greg, about the quarterback store and there not being one. And so a QB in the hand is worth more than two in the bush. So I think my partner and I are both sold on what Brock Purdy is, even though this year, I don't know what you've seen from the film, but a lot of people are saying it was a down year. How did you assess Brock Purdy last year?
I don't think it was as good as the year prior, but he's been a very good quarterback through 3 years in the league. You know, we've discussed some of the things that to me on tape showed up that I thought he has to work through. And by the way, that can be pretty normal. Don't forget it was a team that was racked by injuries. Their O-line was not very good this year relative to the previous 2 years. You know, they had injuries at the wide receiver position. So, you know, it was just, look, Purdy, I like Purdy, and I think he's a quality NFL quarterback. You know, no one's going to sit here and say he's Mahomes, Burrow, Jackson, Allen, you know, those guys. No one would say that. But he's a quality NFL quarterback. I think he needs players around him. The run game sort of faded away as the year progressed. So most quarterbacks are in that situation, by the way. So that's not a knock on Brock Purdy. And, you know, this is a team that's obviously kind of, they probably wouldn't call it rebuilding, but let's say they're in a resetting mode right now. As you guys know, they allowed a lot of players to walk. They're going to be a different team this year. And, you know, that happens. You know, you go through that. This is what free agency is you lose players, you can't pay everybody, and then you bring in new players, and then you start over.
So, Greg, yeah, I think we definitely want to ask you about some of those players that were on their way out the door. But before we leave the quarterback position, I'm curious why you asked us if we think the Niners need a new starting quarterback.
Well, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of people who believe, as you have told me, there's a lot of people, I'm sure, listening and in the Bay Area that probably think Purdy may not be the guy, given that he didn't have his best year of his 3 years in 2024, and that Mac Jones was tied correctly or incorrectly, we don't know, to Kyle Shanahan when he came out in the draft. So I'm sure there are some people who think that they made this signing because Mac Jones could end up being the starting quarterback.
Well, no, there's no doubt that people are curious because of the name, because of the past discussion and all of that. But I guess maybe you can answer it for them. Like, how big is the gap? Yeah. How big is the gap, in your opinion, between what you've seen from Brock versus what you've seen from Mac?
Pretty significant up to this point. But again, you raise a good point. You know, when you're with Kyle Shanahan, things can change. But up to this point in time, which is all we have is the film, the gap would be significant.
Yeah, and the gap is primarily in processing and experience, and it's ball handling and athleticism. And when you look at...
It's pretty much in every variable you could come up with.
Right, and so the only thing I'm curious about with Mac Jones, and we can talk about the other players that Mark was referencing who have left the building, does Mac have the skills to run the specific type of offense that Kyle likes with the boot action, the play action, and some of the other movement needs that the quarterback has to have to run the fakes?
Not as well as Brock. I mean, is he capable? Yes, but not as well as Brock Purdy is.
Okay, and that's, I mean, kind of an across-the-board read on it.
Yeah.
One thing I want to ask you, Greg, is Kyle Juszczyk is one of the people who is out the door, and, you know, short of them finding another fullback, does that signal to you a possible change in how they're going to go about scheming up the offense?
Yes, because, I mean, right now there's not a fullback on the roster. Fullback is not a position where there's a ton of them. We still have the rest of free agency. We have the draft. We don't know what's going to happen. But as we speak today on March 13th, they do not have a fullback on the roster. So they don't know how that's all going to play out. So you'd have to believe that there's going to be a greater emphasis on 11 personnel, meaning one back, one tight end, three wide receivers. Because as you guys know, Juszczyk over the last number of years, I mean, they were a 21 personnel offense playing with Juszczyk, who probably played in any given season 35 to 45% of the offensive snaps. So you'd have to think, you know, again, we don't know what the immediate future holds and when we still have the draft, but you would have to think right now that they would be working on that change because they don't know how it's going to play out.
Greg, what about the Niner pass rush? I think a lot of eyebrows went up on two names, and mainly Leonard Floyd, but on the interior, Malik Collins, who you said some good things about this year.
Yep.
Did those grab you by surprise, and what did you think of their actual play last year?
Well, I thought Collins played pretty well. You know, again, I'm not in the building. I don't know how they feel. I thought Collins, and I've always thought Collins, he's been with a number of teams, so I don't know why that's the case. You know, maybe there's something, something else going on there, but I thought he played pretty well. He's a certain kind of player. He's a three technique. He's a gap penetrator. He's got quickness. He's always been that guy. Obviously, they did not re-sign him, so they're going to move on from him. Right now, they did re-sign Kevin Givens, correct?
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, Kevin Givens is a very quick, guy as well. I've always liked him since he came out of Penn State, so, you know, we'll see. I mean, you know, the thing is you reach a certain point where you've got to move on from certain players. You know, like Leonard Floyd, for instance, is getting to be an older player. While he's not a bad player, you know, he's probably not a guy you're building your future around. And maybe they just made a decision that, you know what, we're not going to sign him to a one-year deal. And I think he even got a two-year deal where he signed. So, you know, maybe if that's what the market was going to bear for him, which it obviously did because that's what he signed, then you know, they made a decision they're not going to do that. You know, the thing is you have to do this at some point. Now, you hope that you can do it without totally changing your team to the point where they're not as competitive, but every team kind of has to go through that at some point. And if your quarterback plays at a high level, normally you weather that storm.
And another guy who has gone, and you know, you talk about how you have to kind of reset the roster, it's Deebo Samuel, and I wonder about what this passing game is like, and even the auxiliary running game, which Deebo played a role in. What did you think about Deebo's year last year, and could that have been, you know, a decline in his play as a big reason, or at least a part of the reason why they let him go?
Well, as you know, we've discussed, I mean, and maybe people have the wrong impression. You know, I had this conversation with someone else over the last couple of days. I think there's a perception, and maybe it's a perception in the Bay Area, that Deebo is a big time number one type receiver, and he's not. And he's a piece in a really kind of cool offense that, you know, he's a multiple location player within the offense. He's a movable chess piece, but he's not a big time number one receiver. So maybe they're going to make some changes in how they play offense. We spoke about the fact that they might be switching far more to an 11 personnel offense. And, you know, maybe they just felt, look, they drafted Pearsall last year. We'll see what happens with Ayuk, who's coming back from an injury. We'll see when he comes back. They signed DeMarcus Robinson, who's always, wherever he's been, seems like he does a really good job. Obviously they have Jennings, you know, I don't know, maybe you know, I don't know what they think of Jacob Cowing. I really liked his tape in college. He played in two places, UTEP and Arizona. I liked him in both places because I watched his tape in both places. He was a totally different receiver in each spot. So, again, at some point when you draft players, you've got to go with them, and I'm sure that's the decision that they made.
Greg, you mentioned DeMarcus Robinson there. Would love to know your thoughts on him and whether or not you think he can be a valuable piece for the 49ers this year.
I do. You know, it's funny. When DeMarcus Robinson, I believe he came out of Florida years ago, and he had some personal issues, and I remember that draft in particular. I can't remember the other receivers, but I thought he was a top five receiving prospect in that draft. And he's moved around the league, and wherever he's been, he's, you know, he's sort of been the third guy, sometimes the second guy, and he's always been, in his own way, productive. Not, you know, not necessarily volume productive in terms of catching 80 or 90 balls, but he's always been productive, and he's always been a part of the pass game. And I've always liked him as a player. He's got good size. He's got pretty good speed. You know, he's one of those guys that helps a pass game. So I thought that was a good signing.
I mean, Greg, you're a tape guy, but, like, we're talking to Niner fans every day who are panicking. Do you think that this is a panic roster right now?
Because everything's going to be different. You know, right now, they're used to a team that over the last 6 years was one of the absolute best in the league. They just didn't get a chance to win the Super Bowl. And obviously, last year, it kind of fell apart due to injuries and other factors. So, you know, this was a team now that was, like I said, among the best, the very best in the league. And now it's a major difference. So, you know, difference, people don't usually deal with difference very well. So, you know, maybe there is a reset. I'm not saying it's okay if they go 8-9 this year. They would never look at it that way. You know that. You know the way Kyle Shanahan is. That would not be okay. But I think every team has to go through this to some degree. I mean, you know, look, the Eagles just won the Super Bowl. Their whole defense is going to be different this year, with very few exceptions. So, I mean, this is what happens with teams, you know. And then you hope that you make the right decisions, and then you wait for the draft, and you see what happens in the draft.
Greg, great stuff, man. Really, really glad to have you.
I'm just trying to be a little realistic here, guys.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
you know, this is the way it works. You know, everybody wants superstars every year. You can't pay everybody, and there are times when you just have to readjust.
Is this, by the way, is this an amazing defensive line draft? We've heard that.
D-tackle is an unbelievable position in this draft. I mean, I was told by someone in the know, and I'm grinding away watching tape, guys. That's what I do every day. I've been watching college tape every single day, and so I've probably seen 200 guys already in great detail. But I was told by someone in the know that you could see 20 defensive tackles taken in the first three rounds.
Woo!
Wow.
Do you have a name that you think would be amazing at number 11?
Well, the one thing, here's the one thing that I don't do, so I can't speak to guys' personalities or if they have issues.
Right.
But the player that I absolutely love on tape is Walter Nolan from Ole Miss.
Okay.
He was a transfer from, I believe, A&M. He was a top five recruit in the entire country, regardless of position. He has snaps that are reminiscent of Jalen Carter, where he just ragdolls offensive linemen in the SEC. I think he's the most, let's put it this way, I think he's the most physical, violent, and he's got great quickness as well, D tackle in this draft. Whether he's drafted like that, I couldn't begin to tell you. I don't get into that stuff. You know, I don't do mocks, but I loved his tape. But there's a ton of guys that you could probably get in the second or third round as well, depending on how the draft plays out.
Okay,
there
Walter Nolan out of Ole Miss. I'm gonna look him up right now, Greg.
All right, guys. Yeah, I'm sure there's YouTube highlights. That's not what I watch, as you guys know.
Of course.
But I'm sure there's YouTube highlights.
No doubt about it. No, there's all kinds of stuff. We're looking at it right now.
296. Yeah.
I just want to know if he's going to be available there at number 11. But, Greg, thank you very much. Great to talk to you.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it.
Okay. There he goes.
There
Greg
he
Cosell,
is. Yeah.
NFL Films. I'm looking at CBS's mock draft right now.
Okay. Walter Nolan.
And Walter Nolan does not go to the 49ers at 11. He is mocked to go to the Cardinals at 16.
Okay, so he'll be there.
So he'll be there.
All right.
He'll be there, but the 49ers make a horrible mistake and take Shamar Stewart out of Texas A&M instead.
What position?
Defensive line.
Okay. Well,
Yeah.
And, you know, the fact that Greg said that he talked to somebody in the know who said 20 defensive tackles could go in the first three rounds.
Wow.
That's 96 picks, and 20 of them are going to be the biggins in the middle, the D tackles.
Yep.
That would be a deep draft if you had 20 of them go. A
lot of tackles, a lot of edge rushers. Like, I'm looking right now at the top 15 picks, and it's a lot of those guys.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that'd be my guess right now as far as the bucket from which the 49ers will choose.
Right, and if you were to go through, you know, pick by pick on not player but need, I think we all would agree that D-tackle and edge rusher would be numbers one and two on their needs, maybe followed by an interior offensive lineman. You don't probably want to take a future tackle. If you wanted a tackle, you would have kept the tackle that you had. So I think that they might draft a guard later, or, you know, somebody who can play center or guard. But I would want them to take an edge rusher and a D-tackle with their first two picks.
I'm with you. In general. I mean, you know, don't know how that's whole all going to play out, who's available. Yeah. But I don't want them to reach and whatnot. But those make sense. Obviously, they need it. Lucky in the city. Hi, Lucky. Thank you for calling.
Hey, Willard, hey, dude, how you guys doing?
What's up?
Okay.
Oh, man, well, you know, I'm trying not to be depressed right now, but I'm thinking, like, man, we just lost a 12-pack, man, of good players. Some not so, but majority good. And I don't know, my panic meter is on Fred Sanford right now, man. I feel like we're in the junkyard, man. I hope we do something right, man.
Yeah.
Give me the names of the players that really bothers you, Lucky. Like, who went out the door that's shaking your trees?
I think we could have gave Hufanga like another shot. Kyle Juszczyk for sure, man. I don't think he did. You know, he did had a bad year or did anything wrong. I think he would have probably came back on the discount just to play with us. So, and then of course Dre. But thinking about it, yeah, those two leg injuries. How could we pay him that amount of money that he got and expected him to be Dre of old? That would have took, like, you know, a little while for him to get back. So I'm hoping we replace that, man. But I feel for Fred, man. It's like he needs another sidekick, man. What are we going to do?
Well, I mean, the first crack might be D. Winters. He's a young guy they really liked last year. Lucky, thanks. Lucky brings up a couple interesting points. And one of them is this. He brought up the locker room there when he said, I feel for Fred. That's one thing I worry about right now, is what's the message that the other players who are still here are getting from what the 49ers are doing?
Yeah, like George Kittle and yes. Fred Warner and Nick Bosa to a lesser extent, because he strikes me as a guy who just, like, I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to play my position. And
maybe him too. Like, maybe, you didn't offer my brother?
Yeah.
Like, you didn't offer my brother, and Fred's like, you let Dre go, and Kittle's like, you let my boy Juszczyk go?
Exactly.
I wonder how they're all feeling about it.
They're probably a lot more mad than those of us on the radio and those of us who are fans are, because you mentioned it, and George Kittle is hearing about it from his wife, I'm sure, day in and day out. It's like he lost his teammate. She lost her best friend. So
might have been one of his best friends, too.
Exactly. I mean, four of them were, you know, kind of a fun little quartet, and now that's over. And I guess he took a meeting today, Kyle did, with Pittsburgh.
Okay.
So he might be a Steeler, as the Steelers maybe are looking to utilize a fullback. And that's what I was asking Greg about, a personnel shift, because there aren't a lot of people who are fullbacks, and you usually don't draft that guy. Like, Juszczyk was picked up via a trade, I think, or free agency from Baltimore, so might be the end of the old 21 personnel.
Well, and then here's a question I've got. Like, if I asked you, I bet you'll get this right. If I said to you, hey, what's the Bill Walsh philosophy on transactions?
Yeah, you cut him a year early.
Okay. So why is everybody so upset?
Because Bill Walsh won championships and Kyle Shanahan hasn't.
And that's a great answer. It's a great, great answer. But let's get into that. And then also this. We got some Warriors and Niners coming up here in the 5 o'clock hour. And don't forget, coming up at 5 o'clock, this is when the best seat in the house package is going to be given away. I'll tell you more about that in a moment. You need to be with us at 5 o'clock if you want to win. And yes, you really, really want to win. This is going to be outstanding, what we're about to give away. So there's that. But specifically this coming up next, and we'd love to take some calls, 888-957-9570. What is it about Brock Purdy that when the Niners sign Mac Jones for $3.5 million a year, everybody suddenly goes, ooh, ooh, maybe that's our new starting quarterback. There's literally nothing about this situation that screams starting quarterback. But there's something about Brock Purdy that makes people's minds go there when Mac Jones gets signed. We can get into that a little bit coming up next as well. 888-957-9570. This is Willard and Dibs. Do you have a name that you think would be amazing at number 11?
Well,
now back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
It's a solid laugh. It's a really good laugh. Yeah, it sounds somewhere between a laugh and a horn. Yeah. Honk honk.
Totally. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like when I pull up next to, you know, one of my kids' friends' houses and need to pick them up. Yeah.
Jimmy!
Hey! Come on down! We got to get to practice! Yeah.
That's pretty good. That's pretty funny.
Anyway.
Oh, boy.
The Niners have a new long snapper.
Oh, they got one already.
They got one already, okay. Yeah, so they released Tabor Pepper.
Yeah.
And no, this was not about money, because it saved next to nothing, because he makes next to nothing.
Okay.
So I don't know what it's about, because Tabor Pepper didn't...
Well, what are they signing the new guy? Like, how much is he getting?
I have no idea. About the same.
Tabor's like, getting 1.3.
Yeah, it doesn't, like, whatever. It's something. He's a veteran. Are you ready for it?
I'm ready.
He's 39 years old.
Wait, 39-year-old long snapper?
I want to show you a picture of this man.
What's the man's name?
I love the young people.
His name is John Weeks. I'm going to show you. Don't look.
Okay.
I'm going to show you a picture, and radio audience, I want you to listen to the reaction that this brings from Dan Dibley.
Okay.
So you got to do something audible.
Okay.
To express. Yeah.
Can I hit you with a coat?
You got to express how this makes you feel audibly.
All right.
All right. Ready?
Yeah, it is. Radio is an audible medium.
Yes, so. It is. Ready? One, two, three. There. That's him.
Thank you. I was just going to do that. He's too old.
Dude, if I've ever in my life seen a picture of somebody without a helmet on who does not look like an NFL player, it's the guy the Niners just signed.
Yeah.
John Weeks.
Yeah. Well, now that I'm looking...
You should change his name to John Years.
Well, anyway. That's a five. That's a rare five. I liked it. You spent the whole break crafting that one.
We worked on it.
You still get credit. I'm looking at his images now, and the picture that you chose to show me is one of the ones that shows up. But there's also one where he actually combs his hair.
Oh!
And the one you showed me is like straight off the helmet. But, yeah, John Weeks, he just turned 39, so he's a young 39.
Oh, I'm an old man.
Yeah.
Fresh 39.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah, he's been with the Texans for years.
Isn't that where they got their special teams coordinator? Wasn't he from the Texans, I believe?
I thought it was the Titans.
I could be wrong.
I thought it was the Titans, but no, that might be the underling. I don't know. You might be right.
And he is, not only is he 39, but... he's played in 244 NFL games.
Yeah.
This dude's a veteran now.
Yeah, exactly.
I wonder where he ranks all time in games played in the NFL. He's probably top 20 all time.
Those long snappers, they can play for a long time.
The Niners special teams coordinator, Brent Boyer, came from the Jets.
From the Jets.
Yeah. Okay. Right,
whatever.
I take it all back.
One of those teams that had a T in it. Thank you. Yeah, so this was not a salary move. I don't know what it was, because it's not like Tabor Pepper was making bad snaps.
Right.
So what was this about? I don't know. Maybe it was that he yelled at Debo.
Could be.
I have no idea what the hell is going on over there.
He's tied for 70th all-time in games played, trailing such players as Aaron Rodgers, who's played in 248. John Weeks, 244 games played.
Damn.
Yeah, and I know as a long snapper, it's not just you snap and you stand there. You do have to
You got to go block somebody.
You have 33 tackles, too. You have to go tackle somebody
a lot of times. Yeah, you got to go tackle someone. If it's a field goal, then you just got to make sure somebody doesn't hop on your head and block it.
Yep.
Yeah. He wears number 46. Maybe he's trying to play till then. I don't know.
That's not bad.
I don't know. John Weeks.
Okay.
Your newest free agent, San Francisco 49er. They want to get younger. they got someone who's 39.
Possibly.
It's a little bit weird, especially in light of what you were saying about, like, so the Mac Jones news breaks in the cover of darkness, and yet the long snapper news happens in primetime.
Right in primetime.
Like, what are we doing?
It is all weird.
Right.
Everything is weird right now. Can't say that it's wrong. Those in the know have said this is inevitable. I am struck by something Tim Kawakami just tweeted a short time ago.
Yeah.
Goes, dude, this is reflected in my reporting. I'm telling you right now that a lot of things did not go this week the way that I was told to expect them to go. So, again, a lot of the cuts, he said, were telegraphed. And that's true, right? Dre Greenlaw leaving, telegraphed. Hufanga, telegraphed. Juszczyk being cut.
Mooney Ward, telegraphed.
We knew that 3 months ago.
Yep.
So a lot of it was expected, but some of it was not. I think Leonard Floyd goes into that category. I think Malik Collins goes into that category. And then the lack of influx, to me, has got to be what is, as Tim put it, did not go the way it was supposed to go. And so when you hear that, that's pretty concerning.
Definitely.
That's pretty concerning.
Because there are teams out there that have signed players, and yet the 49ers have brought in, not nobody, but you brought in a wide receiver 4 from another team, maybe a wide receiver 3. You brought in a couple of backups, and now you have a long snapper. And you brought in a quarterback to be your backup, essentially, a guy who you were rumored to want to draft years ago, and now he comes in as your backup. The whole thing has been beyond underwhelming. It's been bewildering. Like, really? This is what we're doing? And you're right, Mark, about the departures, and you could look at all of them, and, you know, it seemed like Aaron Banks was going to get a big contract elsewhere. I didn't think it'd be that big. Jalen Moore's not a starter, so if somebody wants to make him a starter, okay, go ahead. Greenlaw's heartbreaking, but he barely played. And you mentioned Hufanga and Mooney Ward and Juszczyk. They were all telegraphed. Fine. You're going to lose guys. And I mentioned this a couple months ago, that they had more than 30 free agents, that they were going to lose a lot of them. But it's one thing to lose guys, and it's another thing to not bring anybody else back. That is the part. Maybe that's what Tim's referring to, about it not going the way that he had heard that they had planned it.
I mean, he's straight reported that if they get Joey Bosa, the plan is to pair Bosa with Floyd and rotate them. And then what happened? They released Floyd, and we're told they weren't even never close on Joey Bosa.
Yeah.
So something changed. And oh, by the way, they have no other edge rushers. At least not accomplished ones. I know, yeah. Gross Matos, nice player.
Sure.
That's not your starting edge rusher opposite Nick Bosa. If it is, that's underwhelming.
Absolutely. And, I mean, defensive line-wise, they have some good depth pieces, but you're still looking for that dog, as you said. Maybe it's Walter Nolan in the first round of the draft, and he comes in, and he's your three technique, and he's a guy who can eat up the double teams in the middle, and you get an edge rusher later in the draft. I don't know what the plan is right now, but you're right. When you look at who they currently have in a lot of spots, you're thinking, this team got worse over the last couple of weeks.
I've got the money on John Weeks.
Okay.
John Weeks, are you ready for it?
Yeah.
Tabor Pepper was cut. He made $1.28 million.
Okay.
Here comes John Weeks. He will make $1.42 million.
Yeah.
Major. They are now paying more to the long snapper than they were when we woke up.
Okay. So, I mean, this is pretty clear to
me. It's either a football or a locker room move, not a money one.
For me, and I'm just guessing, but this is a locker room one.
You think it's tied to the Debo thing?
I think, yes, absolutely.
Or do you think it's tied to politics? I'm just going to put it out there.
I don't know how Tabor rolls.
Yeah, you do. It's all over social media every day.
Well, I don't really follow him, nor do I.
Tabor is a left-leaning athlete.
Oh, he is.
That's all over. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I have no idea. The only reason why I know that Nick is right-leaning, Nick Bosa, it's because he slapped on a hat on national TV.
And Tabor Pepper is also quite outspoken.
Okay.
And so I don't think it's actually about politics, but it might be about outspokenness.
Perhaps.
I mean,
yeah, I don't know the first thing about Tabor Pepper.
No, but social media, very, very talkative, yelled at a star wide receiver.
Right.
Maybe that all comes from the same place. Maybe they're like, dude, you're the long snapper. Zip it.
Could be.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think that the majority of his long snapping was mostly good. I don't recall a lot of bad snaps, and I do know that the whole operation of snap, hold, and kick this year was kind of a disaster, and Jake Moody was, I don't know if he was rushed back, but when he came back after the ankle injury, he wasn't himself, and yeah, Tabor Pepper got into it with Deebo Samuel on the sideline, so maybe those are the things. I would guess that it's not his long snapping that was the reason why that they made the
Wouldn't
move.
Think so, and right. It's not money. It's not money either.
Well, they're paying the replacement more.
Exactly. Kawakami also said today, by the way, I still think they're going to get a deal done with Purdy, but at this point, I'm not 100% sure. Like another one, and I know why he's saying that. He's not saying that because something happened with Purdy or because they signed Mac Jones. At least I don't think. I think what he's saying is something philosophically shifted this week from where it was before the week started. In other words, like something didn't go right and there was a fork in the road and they went right instead of left. So I don't know. I don't know where that goes next.
Yeah.
And if it is this much about money, then how do we know that that something's not going to change in the whole Purdy world? You know, Jed York's comments about we've got a quarterback that's going to reset the market came right after Brock Purdy threatened to win the MVP award and the 49ers threatened to win the Super Bowl in overtime. Since then, a lot has happened.
Yeah.
You went 6-11. And finished in last place in your division. That'll change things.
Absolutely. I mean, it'll change a lot. And part of that is you parted ways with a lot of people who were a part of exactly what you built. Before you bust in with the legal, I'm just looking at 49ers.com. The headline is, Niners signed 7 free agents, release long snapper Tabor Pepper. And this article is about 27 paragraphs about their additions, and at the very end, Pepper appeared in 80 games over 5 seasons. He also appeared in 9 postseason contests with the team.
Yeah.
End of Tabor Pepper farewell article.
Yeah. I mean, so, maybe there was something football-wise. I have no idea. I can't remember a bad snap. You remember any bad snaps?
No, can't think of any.
Yeah. And you've been with the team for 5 years?
Yep. And you ended up paying his replacement, who's 39.
39.
You paid him more than what you're paying Tabor Pepper.
Yeah. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube. Powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.